This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
5 seconds left in a penalty. Well, as the Capitals dump in, four goals in their last six chances, but about to be 0 for 1 here. Here's Ovechkin, he scores! As the power play expired, Alex Ovechkin does it again! 8:55 to go here in the first period. It's his 14th of the year. It's 3-1 Washington. Ingram at the ready. He's got a bit of an issue to deal with here for 17 seconds of 5-on-3 with Ovechkin on the ice. And Carlson feeds it to him and he scores! He did it again! Alex Ovechkin is second of the game! He scores on the power play! There is nothing Alex Ovechkin can't do right now! It's 4-1 Washington!
Yeah, it would grow to 6-2. That was the final score. But the big news is after Ovechkin scored his second goal of the night, John Walton from the Caps radio broadcast, longtime play-by-play, so good, on the call, he got hurt in the third period. Two more goals for Alex Ovechkin last night, and then he got hurt. Good morning, everybody. Joe Theismann's going to be on the show with us at 11:25 this morning. You'll hear what Dan Quinn said yesterday about Jaden Daniels' health coming up here in moments. Ovechkin, you heard, 14th and 15th goals of the season. He leads the league in goals right now. He's two ahead of a couple of players with 13. He scored late first period, early second period. And then in the third period, he left the game after a collision with Utah's Jack McBain. It was a leg-on-leg injury. Ovechkin tested it and then really kind of limped through the tunnel into the locker room and did not return. Tom Wilson did his part per usual, fighting McBain and taking him down to the ice. The Caps are off today. They're on their way back from Utah. And I was reading Tarik El-Bashir this morning with Monumental. Carberry, the coach, after the game said, he's being evaluated. We'll know tomorrow, meaning today. They don't practice today, so it is possible we won't hear anything about his injury until Wednesday. But Tarik tweeted out, quote, "Seems like a good time to marvel at Ovi's durability over the years. Per Caps Outsider, he's only missed 59 games in 20 seasons, and only 35 of those were due to injury." So that's what we know right now. 13 goals in his last 11 games. 15 on the year. He's on fire. Let's hope he's okay. ESPN's Greg Wyshynski will join us, I think, on the show today. We're just trying to work out a time with ESPN's senior NHL writer. Last night, Washington's next opponent is god-awful. I mean, the Cowboys are a mess. You know, you think about just their front office alone and how they handled the offseason contracts of Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb, and then, you know, trading, you know, for Trey Lance, a fourth rounder, trading a fourth rounder recently for Jonathan Mingo. This is an organization that is inept right now. And it is finally sort of realizing, they're realizing it with the on-field results. I think, you know, Dallas has done with Will McClay and others, and even Steven and Jerry and their staff, they've done a decent job over the years at identifying talent. They're just not good at figuring out how to do it in the most economical way. They're a mess with their salary cap. They're a mess with their roster right now. They have very good, very few frontliners that are high level. They have nobody in backup mode. They got beat last night 34-10, and it was comical at times. Now, it was also, you know, a 17-10 halftime lead, and they had a chance to get the lead down to something closer than seven. Aubrey, the kicker, is probably their best player. When your best player is your kicker, you're in trouble. It's, you know, I'd say Micah Parsons, CeeDee Lamb, Dak Prescott, but this guy Aubrey, who missed a short one, hit a 64-yarder, but there was a penalty. It was 15 yards against Houston, so Dallas took the ball, got down, and went for a fourth and two. And just, this is a team, this is where analytics really fail some of these coaches. Fourth and two, analytics says, go for it, go for it. Green light, green light. Yeah, but you've got Cooper Rush at quarterback. You can't run the football, and you're terrible in short yardage. Go for it. They did. And they got stopped. No points. If it sounds like I'm a little bit upset, I did take Dallas last night, plus the seven. Loser, yes. They cannot run the football. I mean, it's not even, I don't even think the running back situation. I just don't think that they have a decent run scheme. And then their only player on offense, they have one player, and that's CeeDee Lamb. You know, they try to get him the ball in every possible way. Kevontae Turpin is actually a weapon, and he scored their one touchdown on a quick slant where the safety just left the post-slant, the ground behind him, completely bare, and Turpin took it to the house. He's fast. He's a playmaker. CeeDee Lamb can play. That's it. Washington's up to 10.5 now. It'll probably climb to 11 by 1 o'clock Sunday. The biggest favorite they've been since 2017. I hate to say this because it's a division game. It's a longtime rival, although that rivalry is clearly waned. And the flame has really been a whimper in the last decade and a half. But we know as Skins fans that the craziest things happen in Dallas-Washington games. Just the most unexpected things happen. And Dallas, you know, gave effort last night. That was, you know, a good sign if you were looking for, have they turned on their coach? Have they imploded? Maybe they will after last night. They played hard. Micah Parsons is definitely difficult to block. You know, Mike Zimmer, the defensive coordinator, has always had schemes that are pretty solid and pretty confusing to a quarterback without a lot of experience, like Vic Fangio's were on Thursday night. But rivalry aside, weird things happen aside, this should be a win on Sunday. This may be the first should-win game. Did we have a should-win game this year? Did we finally decide that there was a should-win game? I think the Panthers was the first should-win game in years. Right? We definitely said the Panthers should win. Dallas on Sunday at home is a should-win game. They're terrible. I mean, bad. What do they have? They've got a kicker. So if they get across half the midfield mark, they can get three. You know, maybe not as easily outdoors as indoors. And by the way, did you see the stadium falling apart? Big metal pieces falling down from the top of Jerry World last night. Thank God nobody was injured. But that franchise looks like ours now. Used to look. It's hilarious. It's actually fun. They're brutally awful. They have lost six straight home games, and none of them have been close. Going back to that game against the Packers that they lost 48-21 or whatever it was, the Saints beat them 44-19 in their home opener this year. The Ravens game was close, but it wasn't really close. If you remember that game, it was 28-6 in the fourth quarter, and the Cowboys furiously cut it to 28-25. They got beat by the Lions 47-9, 34-6 by the Eagles last week, and 34-10 last night by the Texans. It's embarrassing. They're worse than we were last year, and that's saying a lot. I mean, we were terrible last year. We got beat so badly so many times last year. And their margin of loss is like 19 or 20 points at home this year. Going back to the playoff game, I think it's even more. And how do you trade, seriously, a fourth rounder for Trey Lance and not play him? How much does he stink not to be in the game at this point? They tried a fake punt. Did you see that thing? That was a disaster. They're fourth and two. Go for it. I was sitting there going, you're not going to make it. You've got no chance of making it. You got nobody to give the ball to. You've got nobody that's a threat. You're terrible in short yardage. Ignore the analytics. This is a fourth and two red stop sign based on context. I guess you could say they've been a better team on the road this year. They beat the Browns, the Giants, and the Steelers. Their three wins were all on the road. And they played the 49ers relatively tough on the road as they did Atlanta. I don't know, man. This just seems like an absolute given. This is mini bye versus team on a short week. Good team versus right now in the league, who's worse than Dallas right now? Serious question. Cleveland's not worse than Dallas, not now, not with Jameis at quarterback. They can actually move the football in their defenses. Maybe Jacksonville? Are the Giants, you know, the Giants-Cowboys matchup on Thanksgiving Day is just going to be so awful. But it will really determine who the worst team in the NFC is. That'll be the determinant. Because remember, Carolina beat the Giants in the last international game 2 weeks ago in Munich. Right now, Denton, who's the worst team in the NFC?
In the NFC, it's Dallas.
I think the way they're playing, it's probably Dallas. In the league, are they the worst team in the league, or is Jacksonville?
I would say Jacksonville or maybe Tennessee because Will Levis is a walking nightmare.
But they're at least good on defense. They're at least competitive in some of their games.
Well, would you argue that at least for the first half, Dallas was competitive last night?
I would, but you know, we'll get into when we get into buy and sell tomorrow. I think Houston's so far below the better teams in the AFC. They're going to win that division because that division is awful. And they've already beaten the Colts twice, even though they've got, what, a game and a half lead or a two-game lead over them. And they've swept them. So they're going to win the division, but they're not a particularly good team. I think, you know, with Collins back, Tank Dell, and let me just mention this real quickly. Why did Cincinnati let Joe Mixon go?
No clue.
He's really good. Like, he's a legit upper-tier back. He's versatile as a pass catcher, as a runner. He's got now six games, I think, this year of 100 or more yards. Six. But there's something about their offensive line that I don't like. Stroud will put a couple up for grabs. He didn't do that at all last year. But yeah, Dallas was competitive. I mean, they fell behind 14-0 quickly. You know, it was ugly early, and then they had the one play, the 64-yard slant to Turpin, and then, you know, Rush hit a couple of balls here. He threw for 354, but he threw 55 times. He's not good. I don't know. They're horrible. I mean, they're a train wreck right now. And I laugh about what they sent to trade for Trey Lance. They gave up a fourth-rounder for Trey Lance last year. It was at the trade deadline, right? I think it was. They gave a fourth for Jonathan Mingo, the receiver, who, you know, last night was targeted 4 times, 0 catches. And they don't know what they're doing. I mean, they are the new Washington of the NFC East because they don't know what they're doing. They get fleeced on every deal. They've got a stadium that apparently is falling apart. They're bad on the field. The only thing you can say that makes them attractive is if you're a believer in Dak, and there's reason to believe that Dak is certainly a top half of the league starting quarterback. You know, top 12, top, you know, 12 to 15, somewhere in there. That if you want to, you know, slug it out as you, you know, get in better cap position, a couple of drafts, that you got a quarterback there that's under contract. And you got a top flight receiver that's under contract. But they're not going to keep Parsons. I bet they don't keep Parsons.
I don't think they can afford Parsons.
What'd you say?
I don't think they can afford Parsons because whether or not, like, I don't think he's had a good season this year. He's been injured, obviously.
Well, he's missed a bunch of games.
But he's going to ask to essentially reset the market, what you do, top player to your position. They don't have that kind of money, especially not after resetting the market with Dak and then coming really close to resetting the market with CeeDee Lamb, just shy of that Justin Jefferson contract. So, like, they don't have enough money for him.
You know what I'm most confident about Sunday? Is that defensively, Washington's going to shine in a big way. They've been getting better. You know, I felt like the Pittsburgh game was probably the best game. They played well in the first half against Philadelphia. And this team can't run the football. They are one-dimensional with Cooper Rush at quarterback. That's not a good spot to be in. I can't see Dallas scoring more than 14 or 17 points in this game. There's going to be plenty of opportunities with the ball. The one concern I would have is just that there is no doubt that Jaden and maybe even Cliff to a certain degree, they got a little bit, you know, outdone by Vic Fangio on Thursday night. He's one of the best. He's been around forever. He knows how to make things look like something that they're not. There was certainly some confusion. There was some confusion offensively in the routes they ran. You know, I think I pointed out on Friday on that low ball that, you know, you guys are all complaining about some of the balls that hit the ground. There are a couple of them where Jaden's like, wait a minute, why do I have two of my receivers running into each other? And he was essentially, you know, just floating it out there and it hit the ground. The one to Terry in particular, Eckler almost ran right into him. And I think Zimmer has that ability. With a young quarterback. I think Zimmer is, you know, he doesn't have the pieces to do it like Fangio does. Fangio had he had 11 players, you know. Like I think I said this on Friday. It's a dream for a defensive coordinator to be able to put 4 on the defensive front and say, stop the run and get the quarterback. And we'll play 7 behind you. We don't have to blitz. We don't have to load the box to stop the run. Philadelphia is talented. Dallas, not so much. I mean, more so with Parsons back, no doubt. But Zimmer has had the ability as a D coordinator for a long time, as a defensive head coach, to kind of fool you, especially with a lot of exotics and looks at the line of scrimmage. And Washington was a bit, you know, a big part of Thursday night was how good Philadelphia was, how good Vic Fangio was. So that would be the one concern. Now, we have not seen Washington totally beat themselves. You know, they don't turn the ball over. They had the interception the other night down 19-10, but they really don't turn the ball over. I would think they can run it at Dallas all night. I mean, Joe Mixon all day. Mixon, you know, 5.5 yards per carry in the game. Got it 20 times. 10.5-point favorites over the Cowboys. Whew. Dallas is going to be a big dog. The rest, I mean, except against the Giants and the Panthers, who they have on the schedule. That'll determine it. They play the Giants and the Panthers. So we'll know by the time they get through those two games if they're the actual worst team in the NFL. Dallas has never, since 1989, when they went 1-15 with the one win being over Washington, I have a hard time remember them being the worst team in the NFL with the exception of that year. Washington's been in the debate of the worst team in the NFL several times over the last quarter century. Dallas, not so much, except for that 89 season. All right, when we come back, Dan Quinn held a press conference after, you know, a nice weekend getting away from it. The team hopefully taking an opportunity to, after 11 games, to finally get a bit of a break with this mini bye. The fact that their bye doesn't come until next month for a third straight year just seems ridiculous that they've gotten stuck with the latest bye, or one of the latest byes, three straight years. He said something right from the jump, specific to all of you that are convinced and may still be convinced, despite what he said, that Jaden Daniels, in terms of Jaden Daniels' health. You'll hear specifically what he said when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, we have some news this morning. The RFK site bill was in front of the Senate committee this morning, and according to Eric Flack from WUSA Channel 9, it has passed the Senate committee. Steve Daines, the Montana senator who was, together with the Wetzel family, the developer of the logo, and had pushed back on supporting the bill for a long period of time. cleared the way, voted yes for it, and the bill has passed the Senate committee. It now advances to the Senate floor for a full vote. So it's up to the Democratic majority leader to give the bill a hearing on the floor before the, you know, new Senate takes over in January. So that's got to happen sometime next month, or it could still perish. So it's great news. At the same time, it's not definitive news. Eric Flack said the vote was 17-2, with Bernie Sanders and Mike Lee, a Republican from Utah, the only no votes. It became clear the entire Senate committee fell in line after Senator Daines from Montana signaled his change of position supporting the RFK bill. But the next stop is the full Senate, and I believe that takes a simple majority, or does it take 60 votes? That's what I need to find out. Let me see if I think it's 60 for that bill to pass. I think they need 60 senators to vote yes. And remember, one of the senators, and he was not necessarily on that committee, was Chris Van Hollen from Maryland, who has said all along he's not in favor of it because he's protecting Maryland's interest. He wants the stadium built in Landover. But this certainly is good news. But again, I think, you know, it is passed the Senate committee, the RFK site bill, 17-2. But that bill still has to get a full hearing in front of the Senate on the floor and be approved before that Senate leaves in December and a new Senate comes in mid-January. You know, Senator Van Hollen, and I'm the other senator from Maryland would be Ben Cardin, right? You know, as of now, until also Brooks takes over in mid-January. They've indicated they would vote against it. Find out, Denton. Is it 60 votes or is it simple majority? I think it's 60 for a bill. I should know that. But anyway, that's good news. Good news. Another step towards RFK. Remember, if the Senate votes yes and that land becomes the city's land to do with it what they choose, you then still have a negotiation with the team, where the team's going to have to get what, you know, a comparable deal that they would get from Maryland to say yes. You know, this is a big step because it couldn't have happened without it, but it's not the final step. Senate floor vote, and then the team, Josh Harris, Mitch Rales, etc., and the city have to come to an agreement on the RFK site. You know, how much is the city and the city's taxpayers going to contribute? You know, how will they get the team, you know, let's just say, call it $1 billion of whatever that, you know, $3 to $4 billion price tag is. So we'll see. But big news from downtown on Capitol Hill. The RFK site plan has passed through the Senate committee. It now advances to the Senate floor. And again,
simple majority is what you're looking for there.
It's simple majority?
Yeah, okay. 51 out of 100.
All right. So there you go. Senator Daines from Montana was a big part of changing his mind. The team obviously did a good job with him and the Wetzels to make them feel comfortable with the path they were taking with respect to the logo. No, that doesn't mean anything with respect to the logo being a part of a new brand, a new name down the road. They've done things in the stadium. They've, you know, I think certainly allocated some resources to go towards whatever it is they were looking for. So there you go. That's my what do you got for today. Just came about. All right. So Dan Quinn met with the media yesterday. Dan does this thing where he comes out and he, you know, has kind of an opening statement whenever he does a presser. You know, a lot of coaches will just sit down and say, all right, go ahead, fire away. you know, and that's not what he does. He comes, and he did this in Dallas as a defensive coordinator. I don't know if he did it in Atlanta, but he would come with kind of an opening statement. You know, yesterday he said, you know, we needed a day or two to reset. The team definitely needed it. You know, we've been going 11 weeks straight. We've been battling for it. And, you know, mentally, physically, emotionally, it's hard on any team, certainly a young one. We're growing a lot, evolving, recalibrating in some spots, but we're not even close to a finished product. But as we're getting going with it, with the guys, went back to tell the truth Monday, and I'll get started with you guys today on some questions. So talked about how this mini buy was a nice opportunity, a day or two to kind of reset, recalibrate in some spots. And then the questions started. And John Keim asked the first question. Now, Denton, I didn't ask you this, and it's my fault, but I'm just reminded by it. It's really important that I read the first part of what Dan Quinn said, which I think got cut off.
Mm-hmm.
Where does the soundbite start for you? Play it real quickly.
Clearly and honestly, Jaden is not injured right now.
Right. Yeah, so let me back up because it got cut off there at the beginning. So John asked the coach, what's been contributing to the offensive struggles over the last 2 weeks? And Quinn said, good question. And he said, I want to first start off by saying clearly and honestly, and that's where you picked it up, Jaden is not injured right now. Now you can play the rest of it, Denton.
Jaden is not injured right now. But we did lose valuable practice time, John, with him and his teammates when he was injured. And that's hard on all the guys. It's a really, really important part of what we do. And we don't have banked reps in years. So we're very much looking forward to getting back onto a full week and regular practice sessions with the guys. So over the last few weeks, we've had to, you know, put that together in small bits. So that's what I think into that space. And as we're heading into this week, we're looking forward to getting a full week of our practice and, you know, work the things that we need to.
If you've been paying attention, some of you have, most of you probably have not, to Dan Quinn's press conferences, either watching them or listening to them or reading, you know, the quotes from them, he wanted to get that out. There is no doubt. He wanted to quell the conversation and make sure everybody understood that Jaden right now isn't hurt, wasn't hurt against Pittsburgh or Philly. He was hurt at the beginning, you know, and probably played at a little bit less than 100% against Chicago, even though he played very well against the Giants as well, because he wanted, by saying, I want to first start off by saying clearly and honestly, Jaden is not injured right now. And then he gave you, you know, I think in his mind, one of the reasons why they were not very productive against Philadelphia. They were more productive against Pittsburgh. You know, they scored 27 points, and Baltimore could only score 16 points. He was probably slightly better than Lamar was against Pittsburgh. But anyway, I digress. You know, he talked about the practice reps when he was injured, and that's hard on the guys, and it's really important to bank those reps. You know, and he would go on to talk about rhythm and timing when you're not, you know, going full speed in practice. And remember, there was no full speed practice on the short turnaround game into Philadelphia. They were doing walkthroughs. So in addition to perhaps missing him, you know, in heading into that Chicago game practice reps, into that Giant game practice reps, you know, and then the walkthroughs into Philadelphia. He was not on the injury report. This is really important, okay, because you can get in trouble if you've got an injured player, especially a quarterback, that's not on the injury report. You're talking about fines and draft choices and the whole thing if it becomes a pattern. He was not on the injury report leading into the Pittsburgh game for the first time. The reason for that, as I told you after the Pittsburgh game, because I was told this, was because he wasn't injured anymore. He was back to taking all of the reps. And they felt great about him, and he was healthier than he was in the Chicago game or in the Giant game. I don't think there's much, I don't think we have a lot of disagreement on that. I, those of you that probably don't even believe the coach's statement, which I'll get to here in a moment, is that he was probably trending in the right direction for the Pittsburgh game and for the Philadelphia game. And then was not on the injury report, obviously, heading into the Philadelphia game either. So they got the reps heading into the Pittsburgh game. They got, you know, they got the walkthrough, but no full reps heading into the Philadelphia game. Now, I know, because I've heard from many of you, I mean dozens and dozens of you, that you are 100% convinced that the reason the team was not good offensively against Philadelphia and was, you know, subpar compared to what they had been against Pittsburgh, and that Jaden didn't run, didn't move, didn't throw in the same way that he had against the Panthers and the Giants, is that he was hurt and that there was no other explanation for it. And look, this is, you know, there's no answer here that's ridiculous based on what we watched against Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. But I am telling you that while you probably don't believe Dan Quinn, and you probably think that this is just a way to say to Dallas and then to Tennessee, their next few opponents, yeah, there's no sense in coming after our guy. He's healthy. And it's kind of a protective measure. It isn't, in my opinion. You know, not because I was told that he was as healthy as he had been against Pittsburgh. To me, it's deductive reasoning. If he was hurting more closer to the injury, which I think we can all agree that that's probably a logical assumption, that if he was really hurt against Carolina and he was hurt against Chicago and then less hurt against the Giants and then maybe less hurt as you went forward, unless you believe he was injured again. If you believe he was injured again against Pittsburgh or against Philadelphia, that's different. But deductive reasoning for me is he played insanely well when he was the most uncomfortable because of the rib injury against Chicago and against the Giants. And then as he got further away from the injury, he didn't play as well. What were the differences in those four games? Well, the first two opponents sucked, and the next two were great. The first two were not very good teams. Defensively, not that great. Chicago's okay. The Giants had been struggling. And then the next two opponents were outstanding. Outstanding teams all the way through, and very good and well-coached defensive teams. That, to me, says more likely than not, the reason that he didn't play well against the Eagles and was average comparatively to the previous 7 or 8, 9 games, whatever it was, against Pittsburgh, is that they were playing tougher opponents. I totally believe Dan Quinn. I think he had heard, and PR had heard, people saying, Jaden's hurt, Jaden's hurt, that's why. And then, by the way, you start to question, why is he playing? If he's hurt, if what I'm watching is what I believe to be an injured, lame quarterback against Philadelphia, why is he in there? Why is the future of this franchise playing hurt? Well, the answer is they're not playing him hurt. They played him sore in the first few games, and he may still be sore, a little bit sore, against Pittsburgh and Philly. Less sore than he was the first 2 weeks. As we know, there is a difference between injury and pain in the NFL. He hasn't been injured. He was injured in the Carolina game, and they held him out. They felt good enough about the injury and the pain threshold for him in the Chicago game, and then steadily got more and more confident that they pulled him out of the injury report. You can't do that anymore. It's not Belichick days. You can't fool around with the injury report unless you want to put your team at risk. He wasn't on the injury report heading into the Pittsburgh or Philadelphia games. Look, I believe him. I think it was the opponents more than anything else. I think it was the Philadelphia defensive coordinator in particular that had them a bit confused and off. I think also the short turnaround probably had something to do with it. The fact that Philly was rested because they had blown out the worst team in the league, the Cowboys, the week before, and rested their starters in the fourth quarter while Washington was playing a 60-minute knockdown, drag-out game against the Steelers. And by the way, as a rookie quarterback, he's going to have a couple of games that aren't perfect. And usually those games are going to come against much better opponents. He had a rookie night Thursday night. He was unsure what he was seeing. At times, I think there were players around him that were unsure what was going on. He wasn't protected like he's been. They didn't run the football like they have had, you know, in previous games. It just wasn't a good night for anybody, him included, and chalk it up, from my standpoint, to you're going to get that in a rookie season. You're going to get a couple of games where it's like, wow, he was confused tonight, like a lot of rookies would have been against Vic Fangio and the 11 players that they put out there on defense. All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Do you believe the head coach yesterday when he said, I want to first start off by saying clearly and honestly, Jaden is not injured right now. Phone lines are open. Do you believe Quinn or not? Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com.
The RFK bill hit the Senate committee vote today in D.C. and passed, which means it's going to go to the Senate floor to be voted on. It needs a simple majority, which is 51 votes out of 100, to keep this thing rolling in the right direction for the stadium to return to D.C. A Commander's spokesperson sent out a press release on the vote that said today's result is an exciting, significant step forward for the city of Washington, D.C. as it looks to gain long-term control of the RFK site. The Commanders have been fortunate to have interest from three incredible jurisdictions as we search for a new home and stadium. The vote today brings us one step closer towards continuing conversations with D.C. along with Maryland and Virginia as a potential future home for our franchise, end quote. That was, again, from a spokesperson for the Commanders regarding that bill moving forward. Elsewhere in the city, the Capitals take down the Utah Hockey Club 6-2. Alex Ovechkin had another two goals, 867, 868. He leads the league with 15, though he did leave the game after colliding knee-to-knee with a player on the Utah Hockey Club. The Capitals head coach Spencer Carberry did not provide an update following the game, but is hopeful to have one at some point today. The Wizards got smoked by the Knicks, 134-106. Bob Carrington had 18 points in 32 minutes for the Wizards. And that's what's trending.
Because of that, where do you see that? Is it the rhythm of the pass game? Where do you see that affecting the pass game most?
I would say the rhythm and timing too, John, I think is a big piece of it too. You have to be able to run things full speed. Walkthroughs are good to help where to do a line and where do you target, but you need the practice. You need the full speed reps to really, you know, let it rip and go. And so that's why that's such an important piece of what we do, the Wednesday, the Thursday, the Friday of the week. So we'll look forward to getting into some full weeks for sure, John.
Dan Quinn yesterday, that was after he had answered the question from John about the offensive struggles the past 2 weeks, by saying, I want to first start off by saying clearly and honestly, Jaden is not injured right now. And then he went on to talk about, you know, losing some valuable practice time and reps when he was injured after the Carolina game, heading into the Chicago game, heading into the Giant game a little bit. But after that, he's not been limited in practice heading into the Pittsburgh game. But remember, the Philadelphia game, as mentioned, walkthrough, rhythm and timing. Simple question here. Do you believe the head coach that Jaden Daniels is not injured right now? I do. I think there is a difference between injury and pain. I think it's possible he hasn't been totally comfortable, but I don't think he's been injured in the last two games. If he was injured in the last two games, why wasn't he just as off against Chicago and the Giants? played really well. Didn't look like really in either of those games that he was even in pain, other than some shots on the sideline with them working on the padding, etc. The reason for me is primarily, I'm not going to say 100%, primarily the opponents the last two games. They were really good, and the first two opponents, much closer to the injury, weren't that good. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Eric Flack from WUSA Channel 9 will join us at 12:30 on the show. Theismann's going to be on with us at 11:25. But if you're just joining us, the RFK site plan passed in the Senate committee today. Senator Daines from Montana voting yes cleared the way for that to pass. Next stop is a full vote on the Senate floor, hopefully before the Senate adjourns. And then the team and the city have to work out a deal. This was the statement from the team today, shortly after the Senate committee passed the RFK site bill. Quote, "Today's result is an exciting and significant step forward for the city of Washington, D.C., as it looks to gain long-term control of the RFK site. The Commanders have been fortunate to have interest from three incredible jurisdictions as we search for a new home and stadium. The vote today brings us one step closer towards continuing conversations with D.C., along with Maryland and Virginia, as a potential future home for our franchise." So you can see what the team's doing there. That's great. That allows us now to continue real conversations about a potential deal. But hey, we've got some leverage because we've got other jurisdictions that are very interested. Maryland, of course, being the most interested and the more likely of the two, Maryland and Virginia, to be able to pull something off. Virginia can't seem to get anything done, as we learned with the Ted Leonsis effort to move to Potomac Yards, the Caps and the Wizards. All right, we'll come back to this. 12:30, Eric Flack, WUSA TV 9. He's been doing a great job covering this story for a long period of time. We like having Eric on. He'll be on with us at 12:30. The question, though, is, do you believe Dan Quinn? I do. I do. There's a difference between injury and pain. It would not surprise me if Jaden's been, you know, a little bit uncomfortable, maybe a little less uncomfortable against Pittsburgh and Philly. But that's part of, you know, playing football. Denton, before we get to the phone lines, your answer is?
I definitely think he's in pain. I don't think he's injured. It does bother me, though, that at least against Philadelphia, it did not look like he was driving the ball down the field. So that was a little worrisome, but I don't anticipate that that's going to be a problem this weekend.
Yeah. Again, I think some of those, and we went through some of those on Friday, they are, you know, he was confused. You could see it. There were receivers from his own team in the same area at the same time as he was getting ready to unload the ball, pulled it back a little bit. He was moving backwards in the pocket, throwing off his back foot a couple times. But I will agree, he did not throw the football, and he did not make great decisions, some decisions that were there. But he also made some really good throws in that game and actually used his legs a few times. All right, let's start with Devon in Rockville. Devon, go ahead. Do you believe the coach?
Yeah, good morning, Kim. Yeah, I definitely do, because he clearly just letting everybody know when he was hurt and injured. Yeah, we knew, but he never sat up there and said, yeah, my guy is in pain, he's struggling. He can't give that to the opposition, you know what I'm saying? So I think it was perfect timing to let it be known. Definitely after last week when Jaden was, I know everybody seen the clip where he was like, I'm back. You know what I'm saying? So I'm in 100% agreement with you, Kevin, that let's take our hats off. Even though the Philly game and Pittsburgh more so was a more winnerful game for us, man, they two playoff bound teams with great defensive coordinators that confused them. You could clearly see that. None of the games it looked like he was bothered by his injury. He's tough. You know what I'm saying? So he just was confused, the offense, and I do agree with the coaching. He don't have any bank reps in the bank. So everything, he's a rookie. So, yeah, you could do your walkthrough and everything, but going full speed, it took you could tell on top of it took, what, week 11 for him to have a game like that? Now, that last week was. He was skipping passes, skipping throws. Like, he didn't look – this was – everybody was saying the Pittsburgh was the worst. Nah, this Philly game. But I'd take one bad game out of 11 weeks and still in playoff potential.
Yeah, he played like a rookie on Thursday night. Like, by the way, better than most rookies, but he was, you know, he was confused by a veteran defensive coordinator who happens to have 11 exceptional defensive players to be able to employ his scheme with. You know, on the road in a short week. Boom. Thanks, Devon. Let's go to Rod. Rod in Landover. Rod, do you believe the coach, yes or no, and why?
Hey, what's up, Kevin? Yeah, I believe the coach. I mean, for some of the reasons that you gave, that they don't list these guys as being injured, you know, the things that can happen to the team and all that. So I think for that reason alone, he wouldn't play those games with the team, you know, the organization, Jaden Daniels. So I believe the coach. I don't think he would do that. Obviously, he may be in, you know, some pain, but everybody in football is in pain probably at this point, you know. So I agree with him. And then I agree with you. I mean, it's levels to this stuff, man. We just played Pittsburgh and Philly. You know, both of these teams are on at the top of their divisions. You know, I thought we had a better chance of winning the Pittsburgh game personally. We was at home. Into the Philly game, even before we played both of those games, I didn't think Philly was going to let us out of Philly with a win. So I was hoping that we got that Pittsburgh game. But I think that, to me, it's going to be interesting moving forward watching him because he's starting to get into – We had week 12 or whatever, and he's starting to get into those weeks where, you know, in college, you only play a certain amount of games a year.
Yes. So now he answered that, by the way. I'll play that answer. He was asked about that, about, you know, the rookie wall, so to speak. And I'll let you hear what he said when we come back after the break. But finish your thought.
Well, that's pretty much it. I just want to moving forward. And Philly, like, again, Philly, I mean, them guys up front, man, they was coming up the middle a lot, too. Carter.
Yeah, Jalen Carter.
You know, and I think it might have gotten to his mind a little bit trying to step into throws, knowing that this guy was coming up the middle. So I think all that may have played a little factor, but I think the level of competition, you know, was what it was. But we hung in there with a lot of those teams. But it's all good. We're going to see Philly again.
We had the lead in the fourth quarter. The team did not play well offensively at all, and they were up 10-6 in the early portion of the fourth quarter. They lost by 2 inches because they didn't get the spot that they wanted and maybe earned, but we will let that one die, from a 30-28 opportunity and a win against Pittsburgh. So, yeah, I'm not, like I said after the Pittsburgh game and I said Friday, I am not alarmed at all. Those were two tough teams played in 4 days and nights and, you know, one on the road and one kind of on the road, to be fair. I think this is a get-right game Sunday against a bad opponent. Can't wait. All right, everybody on hold, stay there. I see you there. Do you believe Dan Quinn? When he said yesterday, when he said very clearly and honestly, Jaden is not injured. Phone calls next, and I'll play that piece of sound that Quinn answered when he was asked about sort of the rookie wall and has his young quarterback and others hit that wall. You'll hear that next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.